continue growing in the Word of God, which is actually our topic today here in Ephesians chapter 1, where God encourages us to keep growing in our knowledge of His Word. Notice verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places." So I'm going to take my title from verse 18, "That ye may know." That ye may know. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the privilege of us meeting here this morning. And pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would take the word and speak to each of our hearts. Lord, that we would open our hearts and listen and be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to change us. Lord, I pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified in this time. We ask it in His precious name. Amen. So Paul here, if you will, thanking the Ephesians for their faithfulness, commending them, as we see here, for their faith and their love, but also exhorting them to keep growing in their faith. None of us have arrived. Amen? We're not there yet. We still have some growing to do. All of us. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. There's probably people in here who have been saved more than 50 years. You still got to keep growing. And Paul here is, that's what he's encouraging in this passage. But he reminds them, first of all, in verse 15, or thanks them, if you will, for their faith. Notice he says, "I also, after I heard of your faith," he says, you Ephesian Christians, your faith is an example to those around you. And this is what God wants from all of us, is to have this simple childlike faith in the Lord that He can do anything, He will do anything. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. We must have faith. Yes, it takes faith to be saved, but even after we're saved, we need to have faith that God is in control, that God is with us, and that God will answer our prayers and God will use us. And these Ephesian Christians were this example of faith, but also he says, and love. Both of these things we must have in our Christian walk. We must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice it says love unto all the saints. So he says to these Ephesian Christians, I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful for your faith and for your love. And I hope God can say the same about each of us. That he's thankful for our faith and for our love. You know, Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. We are here to love the lost and to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Notice Galatians 6:10, just back one book. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That's talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're saved, you're part of the household of faith. God wants us especially to look for opportunities, as it says there, to do good unto them. And by the way, love is action. You've heard that a few times. And when we do good to one another, that is how we love one another, when we're a blessing to one another. So Paul here in Ephesians 1, he's commending these Ephesian Christians, and hopefully God is thankful for our faith and our love. But he says in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So not only am I thankful for your faith and for your love, but I'm continuing to pray for you because you're not there yet. And this is true for each of us. Praise God if you have faith. Praise God if you love one another as God commands us to. But we're not there yet. And God still wants to grow us, to make us more like Jesus. And that can only happen through this book that you hold in your hands. And so he says there in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He says, I pray for you daily, I'm sure, that you would grow in your knowledge of Jesus. Now, Jesus, if you go to Matthew 11, verse 29, one of the things he told us that he wants from us is that we continue to learn of him. Notice Matthew chapter 11 and down in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of what? Me. Learn of me. Well, where do we do that? In his word. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. But he says, I want you to learn of me, to keep learning of me. Now look at another one in Colossians 1:10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul here exhorting each of us through God's word that we would grow in our knowledge. Notice Colossians 1:10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Amen. And what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. That's a command. What it tells me is if we're constantly be increasing, it means we're not there yet. That we just have to keep increasing. It doesn't matter how long you've been studying God's word, how long you've been saved, you got to just keep increasing in the knowledge of God. Just keep increasing. And that is Paul's exhortation. You know, we're told in 2 Peter 3:18 to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to be growing in our knowledge. And that's what Paul's exhortation is to these Ephesians. He commends them for their faith. He commends them for their love. But he says, I'm praying for you constantly that you would keep growing, that you would keep increasing in the knowledge of him. So let's go back to our passage, verse 18, and look at these areas where God wants us to keep increasing in our knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. So there's that our title, that ye may know. So I not only want you to grow in your knowledge of Jesus and of the Father, but I want you to grow in your knowledge of the hope of his calling. If you're a born-again Christian, you have the blessed hope. Amen. Go to Titus chapter 2, verse 13, and we'll see about this hope. Now, when God uses the word hope, he's not talking about something that we hope will happen. He's talking about something that will happen. It is our hope. It is something that we know will happen, something that is true, something that we're anchored in. Notice Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're born again, your hope is that Jesus is coming back. Amen. He could come back at any moment. Hallelujah. And Paul is saying, I want you to increase in your knowledge of the Lord. I want you to increase in the knowledge of the Father. And one of the areas that I want you to keep growing in your knowledge is in this hope, knowing that it's not done, that we're just on this earth for a short time, but Jesus is coming back. Look at, if you would, at Hebrews 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And our hope, it says here in Hebrews 6:19, that our hope is our anchor. Look at it. Hebrews 6:19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Amen. Look at verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What hope is that? That Jesus is coming back and that heaven is our home. That is the Christian's hope. And he says here in verse 19, that is an anchor of the soul. That's an anchor to know, yes, heaven is for me. God has given me eternal life. I will see Jesus again because he's coming back to get me. Praise God. Paul says, I want you to keep growing in this knowledge, that you might know this hope. And you know that the return of Jesus is mentioned over 300 times in the New Testament. If you don't believe Jesus is coming back, then you just don't believe the Bible. It's that simple. He is coming back. He promised that he would, right? John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's our hope. That he's coming back and that we will see him. Go to 1 Peter 1:3 and we'll see more about this hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope. There it is. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then he goes on to explain that hope. An inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Hallelujah. So Paul says to these Ephesian Christians, I commend you for your faith. I commend you for your love one for another. But I'm praying for you constantly that you would just continue to increase in the knowledge of God. And specifically in these three areas, number one, the hope of his calling. When we trusted Jesus Christ, we said, yes, Jesus died for me. Jesus rose again for me. And I'm placing all of my faith in him for not only my salvation, being rescued from my sin, but also for my future, for my destiny. Amen. That's our hope. And Paul says, keep growing. Keep reading, keep studying, but keep growing in your knowledge, number one, of the hope of our calling, that Jesus is coming back. Number two, verse 18 of Ephesians 1, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I love that word, riches. Because it's not talking about earthly riches, is it? Let's talk about heavenly riches. And so, not only Paul says, I want you to grow in your knowledge of the hope, but I want you to grow in your knowledge of the riches that await you. Now, I quoted John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions, verse 2. Think about what that's saying. I don't know if they're different sizes, different colors, who knows? Do we care? If we're going to be with Jesus and we get a mansion, isn't that enough? But Paul says, I want you to keep growing in your understanding and in your knowledge of what awaits you. Because we're told to keep our eyes on the future. Even in Hebrews 11, talk about the saints of old. He says that they realized that they were just strangers and pilgrims. That they were now citizens of another country. And they had their eyes on that, even back in the Old Testament. And you and I are to have our eyes, keep your eyes on Jesus, amen? Keep your focus on what awaits us, which is this hope and these riches. But keep growing in these things, Paul says. Keep growing in your understanding of his hope and of the riches, which I quoted 1 Peter 1:4, inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. The inheritance we have in heaven can't be corrupted. Can't be stolen. Amen. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven in Matthew 6, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Can't be stolen, can't be corrupted, can't be taken away from us. It's ours. Paul says, grow in your knowledge of these things. Keep studying, keep reading and learning about the hope that you have and the riches that await you in heaven, and let that impact your life. Knowing that it's real and that that's what we're to be living for. But the last one is the most important, verse 19 of Ephesians 1. and that is his power. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? But not just any power. It says, to usward who believe. Paul says, I not only want you to grow in your hope and in your knowledge of what awaits you in heaven, I want you to grow in your understanding of God's power. The exceeding greatness of his power. How much power is that? Well, it's infinite. Amen? Look at Ephesians 3:20. He describes it for us. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Isn't that good? Exceeding abundantly above. So whenever you wonder and you go to prayer and you're asking God for something, just remember God's power is exceeding abundantly above what? All that we could ask or think. So we can imagine God is this powerful. He says, no, God is actually exceeding abundantly above powerful than what we can even understand or imagine. And Paul's saying, I want you to grow in your understanding of this. That the God that has saved you, that the God that indwells you is infinitely powerful and is willing to impart that power to you. If you'll be faithful to him, if you'll be in prayer and so forth. But let's look at some scriptures on this. Go to Psalm 62, verse 11. And we could never exhaust this study, could we? This study of the power of God. And that's what Paul is saying to these Ephesians. I want you to just keep growing. I want you to keep growing in your knowledge that you might know that your God is all powerful. Psalm 62, verse 11, look what he says. God has spoken wise, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. God is the one that has all power. Look at Psalm 66, verse 7. We'll see it again. He ruleth by his power forever. Is that good? God's power never goes away. It never fades. It's infinite. Look at Jeremiah 10, 12. We'll see it again. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12. Paul says, keep growing that you might know the exceeding greatness of his power. Jeremiah 10, 11, 12, he hath made earth by his power. Let's not forget that God is a creator. He made everything from nothing. And when we look at the universe, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. When we look at the universe, it just declares the glory of our great God and his power. Let's look at another one, Matthew 19, verse 26. Matthew 19, 26. The Bible says, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It's one thing to say, I believe that that scripture is true. It's another thing to live it. Amen? And to live it when you pray, and to live it as you serve the Lord, to truly believe that God is all powerful. Because what does the Bible tell us as Christians? I can do all things, what? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, what is that reservoir? That's a reservoir of infinite power. I can do all things through Christ. Paul says, I want you to grow in this. I'm thankful for your faith. I'm thankful for your love. But keep growing. Keep growing in keeping your eyes on what's coming. Your inheritance in Jesus Christ. The hope of his return. And keep growing in your knowledge of his exceeding great power. Ephesians 6:10. Let's look at that one. All through the scriptures, we as Christians are commanded to not only believe in, but live the power of God. Notice Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Look at this next phrase. And in the power of his might. I want you to be strong in the power of his might. I want you to live his power, which, by the way, is infinite. We read about these people in Hebrews 11 and all these amazing things that were accomplished through their lives. It wasn't because of them. It was because of God's power. And they believed in God's power and they relied on God's power and God worked miracles. It's the same God that we serve today. He's still a miracle-working God. And we're still told to what? Be strong in the power of His might. So Paul says, I want you to keep growing in it. Another one, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. I love this verse. It says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But look at this last phrase. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. There's that word knowledge again. God's divine power has imparted to you and I, through the Holy Spirit, everything that we need to what? Life and godliness. To live for God and to live godly for God. Through what? The knowledge of Him. The more that we learn about Him, the more that we study and grasp who He is, God says it helps us to live a godly life for Him. So Paul says, thank you for your faith, thank you for your love, but keep growing. That you might know some things, that you might grow in your knowledge of what? The hope of His calling. Jesus is coming back. If you don't believe that, you need to get back into the Word. Because Jesus is coming back. The riches of the glory in His inheritance. In other words, what awaits us? The Bible says, let's look at 1 Peter 2:9. What awaits us? We can sit and imagine all day long how wonderful it is. God says, it's better than that. Isn't that good? As it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. In other words, it's never even entered into our hearts the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's good news, isn't it? Because we've got pretty good imaginations given to us by the Lord, and we can imagine just how wonderful it will be. He says, we've not even imagined it. It's better. That inheritance is better. And then He says, I want you to grow in your knowledge of the exceeding greatness of His power. Too many Christians live a mediocre Christian life because they're not walking in the power of God. They're not believing in the power of God. Paul says, just keep in here and keep understanding how powerful your God is, that He indwells you, that He wants to use you. And go on and do great things for God through His power. Amen? Be strong in the what? The power of the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This is what God wants for each of us, that we grow and keep growing. If you're a perfect Christian, you can stop growing. But if you still stumble sometimes, if you're still not 100% like Jesus, Paul says, I want you to keep growing, that you might know. And it's not just about acquiring knowledge, is it? It's about putting it into practice. Because when you look at these things, it's not just about gaining knowledge. It's ultimately about then putting it to use. Why would God impart to us power? So that we can brag about it? So we can show it off? No. So we can serve Him. And do great things for Him and His cause, that more people might grow and learn about Jesus and be saved. Amen. So He says to these Christians, you're doing good. I commend you for your faith. I commend you for your love. But you're not there yet. I want you to know. I want you to just keep growing in your knowledge that Jesus is coming back, that Jesus has imparted unto us an inheritance that we can't even imagine. And that our God is an all-powerful God. That you might know this. and that you might live it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious and powerful word and for reminding us today, Lord, that we have some growing to do, no matter how long we've been saved. And I pray, Lord, we would continue to be in your word, that we might grow in our knowledge of the great things you have for us, not only in the future with the return of Jesus and our inheritance, but the great things that are available to us if we will but surrender and yield to you, Lord. And as you said, to be filled with the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to be empowered by the Spirit, Lord, that you might use us for your glory. I pray this could become real for us, Lord, and that we would just be in the Word and watch you grow us and make us more like our Savior. Continue to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, I pray they'll realize Jesus said you must be born again. And even today, they'd be willing to say, I need to be saved today. Those of us that are Christians, Lord, are we growing or have we stagnated? May we be honest with the Holy Spirit in this matter. Have your will and way in our hearts as we sing this invitation hymn together. We love you in Jesus' name.